It's not only news, it's science breakthroughs. Tomorrow's technologies. Advanced medical techniques. It's a glimpse into the future where we discuss artificial intelligence, earth and energy, enhanced humans, future society, health and medicine, space, robots and machines. Welcome to Science Bites with Joe and Craig.
Today is September 3rd, 2020. Last week we ended our show trying to think of a song. We had several emails letting us know we had part of the answer right. The song's name was White Rabbit, but it was sung by Jefferson Airplane.
Yep, you were right, Joe. You kept saying White Rabbit, and I was like, no, I was thinking that was the artist.
Yeah, well, we were partly right. White Rabbit's the song. In one of our past episodes, Craig and I spoke about our return to the moon in NASA's Artemis program, and how private companies are building prototypes that hopefully NASA will accept. Just 2 months later, the Blue Origin-led Human Landing Systems national team delivered to NASA a full-scale prototype of the lander that could one day carry American astronauts to the surface of the moon.
This is awesome, Joe, because it means returning Americans to the moon by 2024 is looking better than ever. The full-scale 40-foot mock-up is two different components, the ascent element and the descent element. The model will primarily serve as a platform to test out crew operations involving how to get astronauts' equipment and supplies off and on the vehicle.
It can also help our teams at NASA to evaluate things like astronauts' efficiency while working in the cabin, viewing angles from the cabin, and what the experience is like entering and leaving the vehicle while wearing their bulky spacesuits.
You know, I really wish somebody would come up with some sleek spacesuits like they see in sci-fi movies. But anyway, let's look at some numbers. In April, NASA awarded contracts to three companies as part of the Human Landing Systems project. Apart from Blue Origin, which did score by far the largest chunk of the total $967 million, we also have Alabama-based aerotech company Dynetics received $253 million and SpaceX $135 million.
Craig, we can't forget some of our other heavyweights like Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman, who have also had their hands in several other projects, including NASA's Deep Space Orion vehicle and Grumman's expandable aircraft that has resupplied the International Space Station.
I'm like rubbing my hands together here. I'm so excited to see humanity finally going back to the moon.
Yeah, it will be the first for you.
Yes.
And it's my second experience.
Show off.
Yeah, well. Now, a little closer to home, we have another update. On our 13th episode, we discussed genetically modified mosquitoes.
Yep, I remember that. Yep. The company was looking for the okay to release the mosquitoes in Florida and in Texas.
Local authorities in the Florida Keys just approved the plan for biotech company Oxitec to release more than 750 million genetically modified mosquitoes over the next 2 years.
You know, I still don't know how I feel about this. I mean, like, deep down inside, I feel this can go so wrong.
Well, you know, I have the same feelings. The company will release the mosquitoes that have had their genes altered so the female offspring dies in the larva stage, meaning that the entire population could die off very rapidly.
Yeah, you see, I mean, that just wigs me out. Humans having that much control seems so dangerous. I just got bit by a human mosquito. But I mean, really, Joe, we don't have a great track record when it comes to meddling with Mother Nature. But anyway, the target is the Andes aegypti mosquito that carries deadly diseases including Zika virus, dengue, and yellow fever. But environmental rights activists are condemning the plans, raising concerns that engineered mosquitoes could disrupt and harm nearby ecosystems.
Remember that the previous trials using the mosquitoes have shown success in killing off populations, reducing as many as 95% of them during the test in a city in Brazil.
Yeah, but 18 months later, the populations bounced right back up. Even worse, the new genetic hybrids turned out to be even more resilient to future population control attempts. Oxitec refuted those conclusions. I still think we need a lot more knowledge before releasing gene drives into the wild. That's just my personal thing.
Well, I totally agree. It's not so far-fetched to think that someone could easily create a gene drive, so only like blonde-haired babies with blue eyes are born.
Yeah, like nobody ever thought about that in the past. See, it just scares the poop out of me. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, this is a major modification. Being a futuristic means that we think way beyond the horizon. There will be a lot of good coming from this, along with possibilities of unexpectable outcomes also.
This is true.
Yeah, I mean, time will tell.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we will continue with a new science news.
Recycling is critically important right now. The manufacturing industry is in dire need of raw materials to make the products and shipping supplies we need during this pandemic. But it's also important to recycle right. Empty and rinse containers, break down boxes, keep cardboard and paper dry, and set them curbside for recycling. Place masks, gloves, wipes, and other protective gear in the trash. Don't litter or put these items in the recycling bin. Do your part. Recycle more and recycle right.
50 years ago, we went to the moon. We called it Apollo.
What many people don't know is that Apollo had a twin.
She was a woman named Artemis,
goddess of the moon.
We are returning to the moon.
As a new generation of explorers.
This time to stay.
And to prepare to achieve humanity's next giant leap of sending the first human missions to Mars.
We believe our course will redefine what is possible.
That we will discover life-saving,
earth-changing science.
And that the challenges ahead will inspire generations.
This is our manifest.
For all who wondered if we could return.
For all who dreamed of pressing beyond.
This is your calling.
We go for all of America.
We go. We go. As the Artemis generation.
We go.
Welcome back. Scientists have found new evidence that the Earth has been moving through the remains of exploded stars for at least the last 33,000 years.
Published in the journal Proceedings of National Academy of Sciences, a team of Australian researchers describes how they extracted a special isotope of iron called iron-60 from five deep sea sediment samples using mass spectrometry. That's illuminating because iron-60 is left over after a star explodes.
Iron-60 is radioactive and decays in 15 million years. The theory is that our planet is continuously being dusted with the stuff as we're moving through the local interstellar cloud, a region made up of gas, dust, and plasma.
That's a little crazy, decays in 15 million years.
I know.
It's far from the first time researchers have found traces of iron-60. Previous samples show traces of the isotope dating back as far as 2.6 million years ago. By looking at samples of a far more recent era in our planet's history, the researchers are trying to find answers to the mysteries behind the cloud our planet is moving through, specifically what it's made of and, more importantly, where it came from.
Since researchers did not find a spike in the amount of iron-60, they believe that the cloud is a residue from the ancient supernova.
As a side note, iron-60 is an extremely rare isotope here on Earth. It may have been produced during the formation of the planet. Those atoms would have decayed billions of years ago. That means any traces found on Earth today originated from the stars.
In episode 20, Craig and I discussed a new procedure to extract lithium from seawater so that we can continue to produce batteries. What if I told you we may not need lithium anymore?
Batteries are important to our everyday activities. Anyone that can improve them does stand to make a lot of money. The company called NDB says that it's making progress on a battery technology powered by small pieces of nuclear waste. Yep. Batteries running on small amounts of nuclear waste, you heard me right. A pair of tests at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in Cambridge University shows that the battery is already managing a 40% charge. When the tech matures, the batteries could last for between a decade and 28,000 years, an extraordinary energy breakthrough that could revolutionize everything from electric transportation to personal electronics.
Boy, my flashlight would never die.
No, it'd never die.
In a detailed write-up, it says that a nanodiamond batteries give off less radiation than the human body.
I think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it really is. That would make it much safer in a car accident and would cost us less than a lithium-ion battery. These cells could also be made in any battery form, includes like AA batteries.
But not AAA.
I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
They're probably all batteries.
It does sound too good to be true, but the tests it has passed hold up to the claims the company is making. That means in electric vehicles, get this is so cool, the batteries could run for 90 years without requiring a recharge.
Yeah, hold it.
What?
So what am I going to do, watch the battery go down the road because the car rusted out? I'm going to see a battery with wheels.
You just put it in a different car, I guess.
Yeah, right.
But a cell phone could last several human lifetimes, Joe, without a recharge. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, really. Talk about a huge game changer.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
When smartphones hit the consumer market in the 2000s, we all knew the new tech would have effects that we couldn't even have imagined of at the time.
It is amazing how many things our smartphones can do. Just take the camera alone. It can snap pictures of a plant or an insect and then tell us what it is. You can aim it at the sky and see the constellations, aim it at a barcode and find an item's price, ingredients, and nutrition details. It's amazing.
Now researchers have developed a new deep learning algorithm that can detect heart disease just by analyzing 4 photographs of a patient's face.
That's so crazy cool.
Yeah.
The researchers are hoping their new algorithm could be used to screen patients for heart disease simply by asking them to take the selfies before they have to visit the clinic.
I could see all these nudies coming to the doctor now.
Oops, sorry, doc. I sent you the wrong one.
The algorithm looks for facial features, including thinning or fraying hair, wrinkles, creases in the earlobes, yellow deposits around the eyelids, and white hazing rings in the outer edges of your cornea.
During trials involving over 1,000 patients from 9 Chinese hospitals, they found that the algorithm outperformed existing models that screen for heart disease risk. It detected 80% of heart disease cases and correctly identified if heart disease was not present in 61% of the cases. The results leave plenty of room for improvement, though.
Yeah, the team is still currently working to make the algorithm faster and give it more accurate results.
It's going to be a cool thing, though. Could you imagine just snapping a picture? You know how far they can take this with other diseases, too?
Yeah, we're going to follow this one. All right, we're going to take a small break, and when we return, we have a quick bite for you.
Hi, I'm David Boreanaz with a personal message for any returning vets that may be struggling to cope. There's help, and it's just a phone call away. The Veterans Crisis Line is staffed with experienced professionals who know your struggles. All of us know there's no greater sacrifice than the service to our country. Your service is important. Your life is important. For vets and their families, the Veterans Crisis Line is here to help 24 hours a day. Please call.
What makes a rainbow bend? Where does the universe end? To know the world from A to Z.
Discover science.
Dinosaur, what's on the ocean floor? To know the world from A to Z.
Astronomy, biology, chemistry, zoology, science and technology.
It's fun, you'll see. Why is the sun so warm? What makes a winter storm? And what's a quadruped? Why is the planet Mars red? You'll find there's lots to know. Exploring as you go, to know the world from A to Z.
Discover science and technology. Astronomy, biology, chemistry, zoology. Science and technology. It's fun, you'll see.
A public service message from the National Science Foundation.
Welcome back. Okay, quick bite time. In episode 15, Craig and I spoke about the microplastics raining down in our national parks. Well, microplastics are back in the news again.
You know, Joe, I just want to interject something here. When we first started our music show on Grow Radio back in 2010, when we discuss something in our science news segment, it was like years before we would ever bring up that topic again.
I know. Now today, we're going back to just four previous episodes with some new information to add. That goes to show you just how quickly everything is changing.
Yeah, it's crazy how technology has increased our wealth of information and how quickly we have access to new findings. It just amazes me. All right, so new research shows bits of microplastics are showing up inside human tissues. A team from Arizona State University found nanoplastic particles in all 47 samples of a variety of human organs, including lungs, liver, spleen, and kidneys.
Microplastics are extremely widespread throughout nature and have previously been found in the deepest points of our planet's oceans and in most of the seafood we eat.
The research builds on previous work that has also shown that microplastics are making their way through our bodies. A 2019 study found that 97% of blood and urine samples collected from some 2,500 children in Germany between the ages of 3 and 17 showed toxic levels of plastic byproducts. A 2018 study showed similar results, 20 particles of plastic per 10 grams of human stool samples. The Arizona State work, though, offers an unprecedented level of detail.
You know, if you think about it, between the stuff that we had that glowed and the plastic and everything, imagine what our body is like right now.
Oh, I know. We're just like
these, I'm a glowing pen.
Yeah. We're just walking around with a bunch of junk inside of us.
Well, we still fully don't know the health impact of the plastics inside our body, let alone our organs.
Yeah. You know, at this point, we don't know whether this plastic is just a nuisance or whether it represents a human health hazard, which is where I kind of lean to. But you can bet scientists are hard at work trying to figure it out, and you know for a fact that we will be discussing this again probably in the very near future.
For sure.
Unbelievable.
Well, that brings us to a close of another show. You can find all our past shows on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Alexa, Spotify, and many other platforms, or just visit our website at MyScienceBites.com.
We appreciate your support to our show. Joe and I have added a feedback email to our podcast description, so why not drop us some feedback so we know what you like and what you might like to see on our show. Thanks again for listening, and we will see you next week.